And we're holding on Kofhei Amud Aleph, the eighth line. The Mishnah had said, although we have a case where the person had stolen, where Reuven had stolen something from Shimon, and we said if he swears falsely on it, then he has to pay the Keren, B'choymesh, and Osham. So now we have a case where, and we said that if he, and we said that in order to be able to bring the Osham and have his Kapara, he's going to need to bring the Gzela to Shimon, even if Shimon is now in Modai. But the Mishnah had said that if Shimon was moichel him everything of it except for a shava pruta of the keren, then he doesn't have to take it to wherever he is. We said that it's still me and his mama, and Shimon is still entitled to collect it from him, but he doesn't. But Reuven doesn't have to go all the way to Modai to bring it. So the Gemara says, "Amar of Papa lo shanu el she'ein gzela kayems." That would only apply, says your Papa, only if the Gzela no longer exists. So we're not talking about returning the actual object itself anymore. We're talking about returning its value. So now, if the value that's left of the Keren, because again, he was moichel most of it, is less than a Shava Pruta, then he doesn't have to go and bring it to him. Avo Gzela Kayemis. But if the Gzela still exists, even though now it's worth less than a Shava Pruta, Tzorich Levach Acharov, then he would have to follow Shimon, the Nigzel, and return it to him, even in Modai, because we have to be choshesh that it might go up in value. After all, right now it might be worth less than a pruta, but later on the prices may change, and this object will end up being worth more than a pruta, will be worth a pruta or more, and then a pruta is ma'akev him bringing his carbon, and then you have a problem. Now you do have different opinions among Rishonim. What would happen if, in fact, well, so actually we'll talk about that in connection with the next possibility in the Gemara. So Hashin Shematiyakir, we have a chash that it might become worth more. And then the problem is that he can't bring his that he can't bring his carbon. And the point would be, in other words, let's say he did that, he didn't return that. And now, by the time he brings his carbon, it's worth a shava pruta, then there's a problem. He can't bring his carbon. And it would be a puzzle of carbon. We're actually going to have more when we talk about the actual carbon itself later in the parak. We're going to talk about it more explicitly, that if he brings the carbon before he pays the keren, then he's not yotze. And here, there would be a pruta of the keren left, so that wouldn't work. And the Gemara says, Ikadamni, another version of what a papa says, is the opposite. Amar a papa, loishna gzela kayemis, loishna she'en gzela kayemis. It doesn't matter whether, in fact, the gzela still exists or whether or not, and he has to pay only the value. Either way, in the second version, a papa says, ain't it sarach leilach achrav, he doesn't have to bring it to him, he doesn't have to go to Modai to bring it to him. L'shemeti yaka, loichashinen, we're not concerned about this possibility that it will become worth more. Now, within this, you have a machloikas Rishonim. You have a machloikas between the Rashba and the Rosh. So what would happen if it does, in fact? The Rashba says all it is loy chashinen. It's not likely that it's going to go up in value and therefore for it to be a problem. But if, in fact, it does, then it's true. The carbon would be possible. So therefore, the Rashba learns all we're saying in the second version of Rapapa, and that's what's accepted. La halacha is you don't have to be concerned about that. He can go ahead and bring his osham, but if it turns out later on that it does go up in value, and now this remaining amount is worth a pruta, then in fact retroactively it will turn out that the korban was posel, and he's going to have to bring another korban. On the other hand, the Rosh holds that not. Loi chashinen means we're not even choshish for that. He can bring his osham, and since at the time when he brought it, the remaining amount was worth less than a shava pruta, then we're not worried about what happens after that. The Ran points out, by the way, you know, that we had in Masechta Kedushin, we had the case where a person is Makadish, a woman, let's say, with a date or some other fruit like that. And we said that there was some small object like that, and it's not worth a pruta over here, but we said it might be worth a pruta in Modai. So we see that we are concerned for the value of things elsewhere. And he points out that whole thing may only be a chashash de rabbanon, and not necessarily is it going to apply over here when we're talking about bringing the carbon. Then that concern that it might go up in value might not be enough to prevent him from bringing the carbon. Okay. In this connection, Omar Rava, Gozel Sholosh Agudis B'Sholosh Protus. Suppose that the Gazlan stole three bundles, let's say bundles of vegetables, that were worth three Protus. So each bundle, at the time he stole them, was worth a Prota. And now prices went down, and now the three bundles of vegetables are worth only two Protus, which means, therefore, each bundle is not worth an entire Prota. So im hechzer l'shtayim. So now Rava says, if you return him two of them, chayev l'hechzer l'acheres, he's still going to have to return him the third one, because even though it's not worth a pruta, when he stole it was worth a pruta. Therefore, he's going to have to return it in order to be able to be yotze the mitzvah v'heishav esagzela and be able to bring his karban. So again, we're talking about over here where Tosfos points out. We're talking about, again, where it's be'ein, where the third bundle still exists. If not, then anyway, kol ha-gazlonim shalom k'shas ha-gzela, as we said at the beginning of the perek, and therefore he would have to pay him a prota. But here we're talking about, in other words, that even though right now this same bundle was worth less than a prota, nevertheless, he still has a mitzvah to return it. He has a mitzvah v'heishav esagzela, and until he does, he can't bring his karban. The Tana Tuna, and in fact, we have a Tana, or a Tana taught exactly the same thing. Some Rishonim learned that Tana, Rashi explains Tana Tuna here and in other places, means or Tana. Tana means the Tana, Tuna means or Tana, meaning that, so Tana Tuna would be a verb, he taught, Tuna would be a noun, meaning or Tana, although Mephoshim explained it the other way around. Whatever, the Tana teaches our Tana teaches as follows. We learned at the beginning of the perek, gozel chometz will overall of a Pesach. If a person stole chometz and Pesach has passed, and now after chometz that that chometz is also b'hanah, then he doesn't have to pay it as long as the chometz still exists. He can say harei shalach lefanecha. He can say, here's your chometz back. It's not my problem that now it's worthless. And the reason is taima de'isa be'enei. Now, why does that work? Only because the chometz itself is still intact, and therefore he hasn't been koine. And as we worked out earlier in the perek, when the gazlan is not koine, then he can just say harei shalach lefanecha. So taima de'isa be'enei. So only because it still exists as it is. Implying that if it doesn't exist anymore, then even though now after Pesach it's not considered mamon because it's chometz and it's chometz to overall of a Pesach and it's also b'hana, given to me ikra mamonahu, but since to begin with, but when he first stole it, it was mamon because he stole it before Pesach when it had a monetary value. Boy shalumi, then the implication of that mishnah is that he would have to pay. Well, Rava says the same thing in the case of the three bundles. Even though right now that third bundle that he hasn't yet returned is not worth a pruta, because we said now the three bundles are worth in the aggregate only two prutas. Nevertheless, Boy Shalumi, he's still going to have to return the third one, and without that, he's not Makayim Beheshav Sagzela. Now, with that introduction, now Rava is going to ask about a related case So, Boy Rava, Gozel Shtei Agudas B'Pruta. What happens if he had stolen two bundles that between them are worth one Pruta, so each one's worth half a Pruta, the Hechzer by Achas Mehen, and he returned one of them, but he hasn't yet returned the other? Mahu, what would be the din in terms of him accomplishing the Heishav HaSegzela and being able to bring his carbon? Mia Minin Hashta Lekegzela, would we say that right now you don't have enough to be considered a Gzela because after all it's worth less than a Pruta, and unlike in the previous case it never was worth a Pruta. Now again, in the first Lashon of Rapapa, we said before he might still have to because Chashin and Shemati Yaker. But the second version of Rapapa, which is accepted Lahalacha, is that we're not worried about Shemati Yaker. So right now it's worth only half a Pruta. So do we say that in that case either we don't have enough to be considered a Gzela because not a Shava Pruta, therefore there's no problem and he can bring this Karban even without returning that second one? In fact, Tosfos does bring a girsa that that Rava's question is what happens if the value of it went up. But Tosfos says, no, that's not what Rava is asking about. He's just asking the value the whole time remains half a shava pruta. But do we say that the fact is you don't have a gzela? Oduma loy hod oduma holoy hod gzela to have a gabe. Or after all, he hasn't returned the entire gzela that was by him. So the fact is he stole two bundles, and the fact is he returned only one, and therefore he hasn't even returned a complete pruta. So maybe therefore he hasn't been yotze. So that was Rava's question. Hoder poshta. After Rava asked the question, he answered gzela in kan hashava in kan. There's no gzela here, and there's no hashava. There's no gzela in the sense that it's not a shava pruta, and there's no hashava. So I'm gonna ask, what does he mean by that? Hashava means returning. Beheshavas gzela. So I'm gonna ask, what do you mean? Gzela in kan, shava yashkan. What do you mean? What do you mean? If there's no gzela over here, then if there's no gzela over here, there has to be hashava over here. Otherwise, how can we say that he's yotze the mitzvah of beheshavas gzela? How can we even think that Rava is saying that Zela in Kan, Shava in Kan? But what does he mean? The fact is, if he's potter from returning it, then it means there is a Shava. It means he has accomplished Beheshavas Zela and he doesn't need to do anything further. So, Hachikomar, what Rava means is Afa Pish Zela in Kan, even though it's true there's no Zela over here because the bundle that he's holding is not worth a Shava Prota and never was worth a Shava Prota, Mitzvah Sashava in Kan. On the other hand, he has not really fully accomplished the Mitzvah of Beheshavas Zela. And therefore, he still has a mitzvah to do that. It may not prevent him from bringing the korban, but he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah of Beheshavas Agzela properly. That's how Tosfos teaches it out. That what Rava would be saying is that for sure he can bring the korban either way, because the fact is he has less than a pruta, and we said that once he has less than a pruta, then where we said in the Mishnah we have a case where the guy was moichel him. Here we have a case where he returned everything except for a shava pruta, so it's the same thing. But the question would be, has he fully, so he can definitely bring his osham, but has he fully accomplished the mitzvah of Beheshavas Agzela? That's Rava's, that was Rava's question. And the answer is, he's saying that no. The fact is, he has not really fully accomplished that mitzvah. Nevertheless, he can bring his korban. So if we're not talking about necessarily the other guy was Meichel, then we're talking about Bechlal. The Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin that the reason why Gzela applies only to a pruta or more is because a yid is usually Meichel on less than a pruta. The Gemara points out over there in the Dinim of Bnei Noach that Bnei Noach are not necessarily like that, but therefore Ben Noach ner and apochus mishava pruta. Ben Noach is over on the issur of gezel, even if he steals less than a shava pruta, but by a yid not. But anyway, so the point is that the point is Rava is saying the way Tosfos learns that in fact he is he has not fully, but Rava is saying in the end after asking the question he hasn't fully fulfilled the Heshavas Agzela. Nevertheless, it's not my act of him from bringing his Asha. There are other explanations and other things among different Mefoshim about certain ins and outs of that. And in particular, actually, when the Rambam brings this halacha, the Lechem Mishnah has there on the Gemara has a whole discussion of what exactly. So the Rambam also phrases it. He says that gzela in kan mitzvah hashavas gzela in kan, and Lachem Mishnah points out there were actually different possible gersois in what the Rambam himself is saying, because he's saying gzela in kan. He's saying the gersa we have in front of us in the Rambam is gzela in kan hashava in kan. But there's a different girsa that he brings, that the Torah brings a girsa in the Rambam, gzela yesh kan hashava ein kan. There is gzela and there's no hashava. And the Lechem Mishnah goes and discusses a lot of different possibilities, really. When you get down to it, we're looking at the Gemara, before we even get into the girsa of the Rambam, looking at the Gemara, what Rava is saying, you really have four ways of explaining it. He says, you could say that it means, in other words, that we're referring to what he has in his possession right now. It's not considered gzela because less than a shava pruta. And the fact is, he has not returned what he has in him. It could, what he has in his possession. It could refer to what he has already given. What he stole was a shava pruta, and what he returned has not yet been a full Veheshavas Agzela because he didn't return a pruta. And various other and then you could say that it means that You could say Zeva Inkan refers to what he has now, and Ashava Inkan refers to what he already gave, and the fourth one the other way around. Zeva Inkan means he already gave enough for it not to be considered a Zela, and Ashava Inkan refers to what he still has in his possession. And the Lechem Mishnah goes on and discusses in some detail the various possibilities, what each of those mean, and then in turn how those would affect the actual understanding of the Halacha and the actual Girsa, and then the Girsa and the Rambam. Anyway, the point is, even though he still has some of it in his hand, Rava is saying he can still bring his carbon. Okay. Now, having asked this question, now the Gemara is going to digress. Rava is going to ask a couple of other cases from other areas of halacha outside of Dini Mamonos, where we see that you need a certain minimum amount of something, and the question is, what if you only have, what if you started with that minimum amount and now you have less? Are you yotze what needs to be accomplished by that minimum? So the first one is going to be in connection with the halachas of a nazir. So for Omar Rava, Hare Omru, now let's consider, we know the Chachamim said, Nazir should gilach v'shir shtei sairus, that if a Nazir shaved his hair at the end of his Nazirus, and he left over two hairs, loy osav loy klum, then what he did doesn't count, he has not accomplished the mitzvah of gilach, because he has to shave all his hair. Now, Tosfos points out, when we learned Masechta Nazir, we learned there was an opinion of, that you have Rabbi Eliezer, it said over there that without Giluach, he can't even, his Nazirus is not over. Even though he's done everything else, he still can't start drinking wine or do anything else until he accomplishes a proper Giluach. So when, he brings the korbanos to the Beis Mikdash, and then they shecht them, and after that he does the Giluach. We learned a nazir over there. You have various cases where one or the other of the korbanos is possible. So ideally, what he does is he waits till all three of them are shechted, and that way, at least as long as at least one of them is kosher, then he's good. If not, then there are problems. Then he may have to start his nazirus over again, and if not started over again, at least give another 30 days for his hair to regrow, etc. We had a lot of discussion about that at the time when we learned this. This would be like almost 2 years ago. Actually, about a year ago, I guess, whatever. Anyway, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the nafkamina would be that he hasn't accomplished giluach, meaning, in other words, that he still, even though he's brought his korbanos, he still can't drink wine or do any of the other things that a nazir can't do. According to the Chachamim, he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah. The Torah says, "Begilach ha-nazir," he has a mitzvah to shave his hair, and he hasn't accomplished that mitzvah, but nevertheless, still his nazirus is over. So that's a given, says Rava. Now, the question is, Boi Rava, Gilach Achas V'Noshra Achas Mahu. What would happen if of those two hairs, he shaved one of them and then the other one fell out on its own? So now, has he accomplished the mitzvah of Giluach or not? So the Gemara wonders, Amalei Rav Acha Midifti L'Ravina, Nozer Shegilach Achas Achas Kamibayu L'Rava. What is Rava asking about a case? Are you talking about that a case where he shaved every hair individually? The fact is, suppose that he had a bunch of hairs and he went and shaved each one individually. Eventually, he's going to be yotze the mitzvah. The same way over here. Yeah, when he came to shave the remaining two hairs, there was a shear of giluach, and he shaved one of them, and the other one fell off. What's the problem? Of course he's yotze. Amalei, so Ravina answers, Loit Sricha, yes, but no, the Chiddush, the reason why Rava is asking the question is the other way around. G'gunsha Nosha Achas Mehen with Gilach Achas. The other way around, he left over two hairs. One of them fell out, and then he shaved the other one. So now the question is, Mia Minin Hashta Mia Soleka Shear. So now the question would be, do we look at it that right now there's no Shear? Because the fact is that you need two hairs for it to be considered Giluach, and right now there's only one because the other one fell out. Oduma, do we say right now there's no Shear, meaning, in other words, that therefore there's no problem? His Nazirus is over, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, because there aren't two hairs left. Or maybe we can say this shaving off the last one is not considered giluach. Dimi Ikra Hashayosh De Cyrus, because to begin with, he left two hairs and therefore it was not a good Giluach. Bahashta ki Gilach Lehavich De Cyrus. And now when he shaves him, he doesn't have two Cyrus. So, and then there's no mitzvah in the Torah to shave one hair. So maybe, so that would be the question. It's true that if it was the other way around, that one, that he shaved one and then the other one fell out, then it's true, he would have been Yotze. But now the question is the other way around. If one fell out, there's only one left. Is he going to be Yotze mitzvah giluach by shaving that? Was he choyv to do it right? So again, Hoder Poshta, later on, Rava answered the question similar to what he said in the case of the Gzela, Seir en kan, giluach en kan. There's no hair over here enough for it to be considered a problem with his Nazirus, and there's no giluach. And the Gemara says, what does he mean by that expression? Same as we asked by the Gzela. E seir ein kan, giluach yeshkan. What do you mean? If there's no seir, then he has accomplished mitzvah giluach. So he means, hochakom, af apisha seir ein kan, even though there's not enough hair over here for it to be considered hair that prevents it from being the full shaving of a nazir, mitzvah giluach ein kan. The fact is, there's no mitzvah giluach, because there's no mitzvah giluach with one hair, so therefore, so if he wants to be, if he wants to accomplish that mitzvah, so now again, according to Tosfos, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it would mean that he's not actually been yotze giluach, and therefore he's still also to drink wine and so forth. As if he hadn't shaved, and again, according to the Chachamim, you wouldn't have that. According to the Chachamim, it's not, he's still yotze his nazirus, but nevertheless, he hasn't properly fulfilled the mitzvah. The guy has no hair, but the question is, he didn't accomplish it by Giluach, and therefore he left two behind. But now one of them fell out before he had a chance to do Giluach on that. So according to Rabbi Yezu, he hasn't accomplished a mitzvah of Giluach. So he hasn't accomplished a mitzvah of Giluach at all, is what Rava is saying. According to the Chachamim, it wouldn't be a nafkamina, and it wouldn't be a practical nafkamina for him. It would just mean that he hasn't been yotze the mitzvah. If he wants, the Baal Amor points out, to be yotze, he'd have to regrow his hair and then shave it again. According to Rabbi Yezu, he would have to do that, because otherwise, without Giluach, he can't finish his Nazir. So according to the Chacham, it wouldn't matter, because you don't actually need Giluach in order for the Nazir to be over, as long as he brought his korbanos.
There was the one said that he cut a few years at a time, and the end of it all cut.
So that's the thing. So before, we said before, Rav Acham Edifti had pointed out, if you cut one of them at a time, then you're yotze, fine, but there have to be two hairs left. There have to be two hairs left at the end. That's what we were saying before. If you cut one and then the other one fell out, then fine, no problem. For sure you're yotze, because at the time you started cutting, you had two hairs left. The question is the other way around over here. At the time you started cutting, there's only one hair left. Because the previous one fell out. And meanwhile, the previous giluach was not a valid. In other words, let's consider, if the guy had 100 hairs, if he had shaved off 99 of them, no question is yotze mitzvah giluach, because only when there's two hairs is it considered that he hasn't. If he shaved off 100, of course, then there's no question in the first place. If he shaved off 99, also no question. The problem is he shaved off 98 of them. So now he has not been yotze mitzvah giluach yet, according to anybody. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, that would even prevent him from finishing his Nazirus, according to the Chachamim, not. But now, so now the 99th hair fell out, and now he wants to shave the 100th. Is he accomplishing mitzvah giluach with it? So now that's what Rava is asking. And the answer is, in the end, that no, he's not accomplishing mitzvah giluach, because the fact is, he didn't do a giluach that leaves over less than two hairs.
Isn't the machine that cuts off the last hair, it's a
makapatish,
everything's done.
We say makapatish. The definition of giluach is that there have to be two hairs over there. So
it was before. Now,
but now no, because what he did before didn't yet count as giluach.
But he cut to the last one.
He cut and left over two. Yeah. So
the last second two would sell itself, maybe, because when the machine cut it dropped.
No, well, never mind that. If he was doing it all at once, of course, we wouldn't be talking about that. We're talking about that to begin with. He cut all of them and left over two. Okay. So in a similar vein to the way we're saying over here with the two bundles, with the two bundles of vegetables or whatever, where when he has one of them left, which is worth less than a pruta, we said gzela in kan, ashova in kan. The fact is, he hasn't fully fulfilled the mitzvah of a hsvs gzela. The same way here, by our nazir, he hasn't fully fulfilled the mitzvah of the gilach hanazir.
But the bundles, can he bring his carbon there?
So that's what we're saying. According to Tosfos, was saying that he had, it's not ma'akiv the fact that he didn't do a full hashava. He can still bring his korban because it's only less than a pruta. And we said when there's less than a pruta, then he's fine. All it is he hasn't fully accomplished the mitzvah the way he should have. Okay. Here's another one. V'omar Rava, Hare Omru. Now here's another din in the, this is in connection with the halachas of Tumah V'Tahara. So we need a little bit of background for this. We know the Torah tells us that a kli cheres can become tomei only from its inside. If tomei is inside a kli cheres, whether it's touch, it doesn't even have to be touching it. It could be suspended inside the inside of it. Then it becomes tomei, right? For that reason, also, then you have if you have food inside a kli cheres, and that kli cheres is in an oil a mess, is in a place where there's in a house or whatever where there's a mess, then the keli and everything inside it is going to become tomei. On the other hand, the Torah tells us if you have a tzomid posel, if you have a tightly fitted, tightly closed cover over the kli cheres, and then the Mishnah and the Mishnayos and Masech the Kalim deal with the details of how exactly it has to, what exactly tzomid and posel means. It has to be tight and it has to be like smeared on, kind of. It's not just enough necessarily. Let's say, for example, a cover of a pot or a jar that's screwed on or whatever. Anyway, the point is, then it saves. That anything, the kli cheres itself and anything that's inside it will remain tahor. Now you also have a din, and this can, it doesn't have to be, by the way, that it doesn't have to be that the inside of it is hermetically sealed, is an airtight seal. You can have, the Mishnayos describe over there, you can have a small hole in the side of the container and it's still considered a tzomid pasul. And still what's inside the keli still remains tahor. So now you have, but if the hole is more than a certain size, then you can't, then you can't anymore unless the hole is plugged up. Now you have another din in this connection that you have, suppose you have a Mishnayos Olas that deals with these kinds of things in great detail, where you can have, for example, there's tumah on the ground floor of a house. And you have, there's a skylight, there's an opening between the ground floor and the second floor. Under what conditions does tumah spread to the second floor, and under what conditions does it not? One rule being, suppose you have something covering the hole. So if there's glass there, then fine. Then that's fine. But we're talking about there's a hole between the, you need a way to get from the. Think of, for example, one of those attics or something. We have a staircase leading from one to the other. Yeah. So suppose you have something covering the hole. So it's going to depend. Is that something mekabel tumah? If it is, then it itself is going to become tumah because it's part of the oil ames, and therefore it can't block the tumah from going to the second floor. But if it itself is not mekabel tumah, then it does successfully block the tumah, and now whatever or whoever is in the second floor will not become tumah. So now the Gemara is going to bring in a din that has to do with that. So boi rava, v'omar rava. Hare omru. Now we know the Chachamim said chobis shenikva. Suppose you have a barrel that has a hole in it. V'sasmur shmorim. And then you have suppose this barrel contains wine. And now you have the hole was plugged up with the dregs of the wine that are at the bottom of the container. Hitziluha. Then they save it, and now the wine and the container don't become tummy because now the hole is plugged up. The question is, on the other hand, Chokka Bismora, I'm skipping lines actually. Oh, yeah. Sorry. So Boy Rava, Ogaf Chetzia. So now Rava asks the question, what would happen? Suppose they took some clay and smeared it over half of the hole, and the other half of the hole remains open. So now you don't have left a hole that's large enough for it to be a problem. On the other hand, to begin with, there was a hole there that was large enough to let the tumah in, and now only half of it has plugged in. So Rashi and the Rosh understand that the question is basically that the other half of the hole remained open. So Rashi, first of all, explains that the scenario we're talking about over here is where this chavis is on top of that skylight, on top of that hole between the ground floor and the second floor. And now again, if we say if the barrel is closed up enough that the tumah won't go into it and make it tumah, then it's able to block the tumah from going to the second floor. If the barrel itself becomes tumah, then the second floor is also going to be tumah. So Rashi learns that that's the scenario. Tosfos actually points out that Not really, because the Mishnah that the case we're talking about over here is actually in connection with the Mishnah that he's going to bring as a proof over here is actually going to be is actually going to be from Masechta Kelim, which talks about the dinim of the keli itself. If it was a matter of the second floor, then that belongs more in Masechta Olos. So Tosfos says we're not really talking about the ground floor and second floor. We're just talking about is the contents of the barrel itself and the barrel itself going to become tomei or not. So again, we said that if the entire hole was plugged with shmarim, then it's matzil. But what happens if he plugged half of it with clay? And now again, the Gemara doesn't say what he did with the other half. Rashi learns that it means that the other half of the hole remained open. So that it's less than a shear, right? On the other hand, Tosfos says that no, what we're talking about is the other half is plugged up, but only with shmarim. The question is, though, that the shmarim are not covering the half that he plugged up with clay. So the question is, so what would be the din? Would we say you don't have a hole here large enough, so therefore you don't have an issue? Or the fact is, you had a hole there to begin with, and you didn't close up the entire hole. Well, that's what Tosfos asks on Rashi. If you're saying that he closed up the hole, if he closed up only half the hole, so what's the problem? Obviously, then you have a hole that's too small for the tumah to come in. What's the problem? But Tosfos says, according to their shitta, that we're talking about half of it was plugged up with clay and the other half with shmarim. In other words, it does have to be the whole thing is closed up. The question would be, closing up with shmarim is not really a very good. It's not really a very good closure. It's not if the entire hole was covered up with shmarim is one thing, but if only half of it is, maybe that's not considered good enough.
Hole was closed, then I would say it's not good because you know it can always move.
I said it wrongly. Tosfos explains that what happens if the shmorim are covering only half the hole. So Rashi explains, in other words, that we're talking about that he covered up half the hole with with clay. Tosfos explains that we're talking about that half of it is covered with shmorim. So now the question is, Mahu, what would be the din? Would we say you don't have a hole large enough for it to be a problem, or you still do? Isn't this exactly the same as a case in the Mishnah? Ditznan, where in fact we learn in a Mishnah. Chobis shenikra, when a barrel has a hole, v'sasmur shmarim, and the shmarim, the dregs, cover up and close up the hole, hitziluha, then like Rava had said, they do save it, and now the keli itself and the contents don't become tomei. And like Rashi said, if the keli is sitting on top of that hole between the ground floor and the second floor, then the second floor won't become tomei either. But the Mishnah continues, if instead he closed up the hole with a branch, if he stuck a branch, like a branch of a grapevine or something, a zmoda usually means a branch of a grapevine, into the hole, then it doesn't work ad shi mareach. It only works only if he smears clay around the sides of the branch where it goes into the hole. Just sticking in a branch over there, even though now the hole is less than the shear, is not enough. It has to be some impossible. You have to actually make a tight fitting, a tightly sealed cover over there. And the Mishnah continues, Hoyubashtayim. What if you took two branches and stuck them into the hole? Then you need not only Ad Shimarech, Minat Sdodim, Obein Zmorda Lachavata. Then you need to smear clay, not around the edges, not only around the edges, but also between the branches, because otherwise you have a gap between the branches. So we see that even though a hole is partially filled in, it's still not considered filled in. So what's Rava's question? So the question is, holei merach loy. So it's a time of the morach, only because he smeared clay over there is it saving the container. Holei morach loy, but if you didn't smear clay on it, then it wouldn't work. Amai, now ask yourself why. Shouldn't it be exactly like the case that Rava is asking about closing up half the hole? Ambi. So the answer, that's not really a proof. Hochi hashta. How are you thinking to compare them? Hosam ilay marach loykoi. The fact is there, if you don't smear clay, it's not going to stay in place because the branches are just going to fall out of the hole. So therefore, it's not so much a matter of that the hole is not completely filled in. The problem is that the branches themselves are going to fall out, and then you have the hole is completely open. But over here, ogav chetzia, midi de koi, On the other hand, when it comes to when he closed up the hole, the fact is he put it, whatever it is that's closing up half the hole is going to stay there, whether according to Rashi that he, whether according to Rashi that he used clay, or according to Tosfos that we're talking about Shmorim, it can be expected to stay there. You don't need, you don't necessarily need to do something else to make it stay there. So they've
Shmorim puts it the same thing.
No, it's not.
Because
the difference is a twig, you're going to put it in, it's going to fall right out. If you cut off a piece of it and actually make it into a plug for the hole is one thing, but that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is taking, you take an entire branch and you stick one end of it into the hole, so it's going to fall out. But here we're talking about the Shmorim are there and they're sitting there in place. There's nothing that's going to move them necessarily from there, so maybe that should be good enough. So if we're talking liquids, yeah, maybe we shouldn't talk about a case where it's full of wine. Fine, maybe we should talk about a case where it's full, where there's shmorim from a previous time that you had wine in there, and right now you have pavis in there, let's say. So, okay, so the Gemara leaves the question open, and in fact, it's a suffix whether, in fact, the Rambam Paskin and Hilchos Tumas Mes, that it ends up being a suffix whether, in fact, that works or not. Okay. V'omar Rava. Now Rava says, here's another din, let's ask about, getting back to dinim of Zela. We've said that a person steals chametz and Pesach passes, and now that chametz is also b'hana, he can say, because the chametz itself still exists, he can say harei shalach lepanecha, and he doesn't have to pay the value of the chametz. He just gives back the chametz itself, and it's not his problem that now it's also b'hana. However, boy Rava, so now Rava asks the question: what about nishba olav mahu? What about if he had sworn after So after the chametz became also, after Pesach started, he swore falsely that he had not stolen this chametz. Mahu, now what we've been in terms of the fact is the chametz exists right now, so therefore he could be he could conceivably return it right now, and therefore it comes out that it's not. Therefore, it comes out there wasn't really a kfirah over here because the thing that he can return actually exists right now. So that's the thing. Mi amrin kivendi migna boi shalumile. The fact is, right now, if this chametz was stolen from him, from the ganav, he would have to pay, because now we would say, now he can't say anymore, harei shalach lefanecha, because like we said on Amud Aleph, the chametz had a value when he stole it, and therefore to be mekayim the hvs exela, he would have to actually return the value of it, because kol hagazlon mesham kashas exela. So therefore, mamona kakofrele. So it comes out that he's being kofer on something that has an actual monetary value. Or you could say right now the chometz exists right now and he could return it. But after ba'almahu, and it's only considered dust because it becomes chometz and it becomes pesach and it becomes also ba'ana. V'lekofrele mamona, and therefore he hasn't been kofer on mamon, and therefore maybe he should be potter from the korban. So again, in other words, he had stolen the chametz. If he ate the chametz or something, no question, the chametz was worth a pruta. He has to return that pruta before he can bring his korban. It's not be'ed anymore. But now we're talking about the actual chametz itself still exists. So it's not worth a pruta anymore, but it actually exists, and he could conceivably say harei shalach lefanecha. On the other hand, though, the fact is that the fact is if that chametz disappears, if it gets stolen from him or whatever before he has a chance to return it, then he does have to pay a pruta. So that's the question, in other words. So now, is the potential fact that he might have to pay a pruta, is that enough to prevent him from bringing the korban or not? And the Gemara points out, Milsadi, boy le Rava, pshita le Rava. You should know that this question that Rava is asking, Rava knows as a fact that what the din would be. D'omar Rava, as Rava points out, you can have a case where... what is Rava saying again? In other words, the question is: on the one hand, the chometz is not worth a pruta. On the other hand, potentially it could make him required just to give a pruta. It's somewhat similar to the case that we learned a few blocks ago about dover agurim l'momin. We have machlokas Reb Shimon and the Chachamim where the dover agurim l'momin k'momin dummy. Although Mefoshim point out that it's not exactly the same thing as Beis Hashem will discuss as we go along. So Rabba is going to say that yes, in this case, because potentially there is a matter of returning mammon, then therefore it's considered mammon even now, and the answer would be that. So therefore, so that would answer. So that would answer Rava's question. Right now, the chometz isn't worth anything, but potentially, and then he could say, Harei shalach l'panecha, but potentially it could make him worth a pruta if that chometz were to get stolen or whatever were to happen to it. And therefore, that would be enough to actually prevent him from bringing his korban until he takes care of that. So Rava is asking the Suffolk, Rabba would know for sure that the answer would be yes, he can't bring the korban yet. And we know this, the Omar Rabba. Suppose that one person says to another, Shodi ganavda, you stole my ox, and the other guy says, no, I didn't. So the first one says, Matire etzlecha, what do you mean? What's this shur doing by you? I see this shur by you and I recognize it as mine. And the other guy says, Shemachinam ani olav. I'm a Shemachinam for it. So then Chayev, so now if he were to swear falsely on that, he would be Chayev for the korban on the Shavua. He's not saying it's his shur, because Shari Potter Atmi Mgnev Babeda, because by claiming that he's Shremachinam means that he's saying I'm Potter in case it gets stolen or in case it gets lost. So what would happen, in other words? So after that Shavua, if we say, okay, you swore that you're a Shremachinam, we have to take you at your word, you're a Shremachinam. So now Gnev Babeda, he'd be Potter. But the whole thing is based on a lie, so therefore he's going to be chayev for that korban shvur, for the original shvur that he swore that he was a shemachin.
That's if he
decides to do tshuva. Yeah, no, all these cases we're talking about where he pays keren v'chomesh v'asham is always ready to do tshuva and to admit it, right. Similarly, Rabba continues, shemesh socher ani olav, suppose the guy says, I'm a shemesh socher, also chayev, then he's also chayev for a korban for his shvur, try to potter atzmi v'shvur o mesa, because he's part of shemesh socher, is chayev for gneva v'aveda, but he's potter for shvur o mesa, he's potter for oinsin, where the animal was broken or died, which are oinsin, and now he's saying, now as a gazlan, he'd be chayev in all of them, because a gazlan, there's no particular dinim of what he's potter for. He's chayev for everything of it. But like this, by claiming that he's a shomer socher and swearing falsely on it, he's saying that he's potter from shvur omes. Similarly, shoyl on the olav, if he said, I'm a shoyl about this animal, then also chayev. He's also chayev for his shvur, shari potter atzim, mesa machmas malacha. Because even though a shoyl is chayev for almost everything, but there is one case where he's potter, mesa machmas malacha. If he's working with the animal in the normal way and it dies, or depreciates for that matter. So, as opposed to a gazlan, wouldn't have that concept. If the gazlan works with the animal that he stole and it dies or weakens or whatever, he's still going to be chayev. He's still going to be chayev to pay. So by saying that he's a shoyl, he's patering himself from that. So in all those cases, in other words, his shvura actually has effects on mum. Which worth mentioning, by the way, in this connection, the Mishnah tells us at the end of Masech the Shavuos that you can have cases you have two different types of cases where a person is chayev a korban for a shvur. One is where it has effects, where it has monetary effects. In other words, like this, he's saying that he's potter from a certain monetary thing, which otherwise he would be chayev. Then you have a case called shvuras bitui, which is where a person is swearing and there's no actual, all it is, it's a false shvur, but it doesn't have any monetary effects. So say, for example, in these examples over here, you could have a case where a person, we'll learn about in Bava Metzia, we'll learn about some such cases where a person swears falsely on something, but you can have a case where his shvur is false, but nevertheless, it doesn't change the fact that he's still chayev say, for example, you can have a case, let's say, a shomer socher swears that the animal, died when really it was stolen by a gazlan. Either way, he's potter. But the fact is, either way, he's potter. So he's not bringing a korban for the shvura. He doesn't have the din of keren b'chomish v'asham. But nevertheless, it is a false shvura. And therefore, you'd have to bring a korban for that. It would be a korban olav yored for shvur bitur. It's a korban olav yored for shvur that involves money. Then it would be an asham. Olav yored means that it adjusts according. No, olav yored means that it adjusts according to how much money he has, whether he's rich or medium or really poor. So Alma. So the Gemara says. So we see from this statement of Rabba, even though the animal is actually there right now and the gazlan is agreeing that it is the owner's animal, So he's not actually been kofer in anything, given to im nignib, but if it were to get stolen from him in the case of the Shomer Sachar, and similarly with the other ones, mamona kakofer, and then it comes out he was kofer on actual mamon, because let's consider, in other words, if he's a gazlan and it gets stolen from him, he's going to be chayev to pay the value from it. Of it. If he's a Shomer Sachar, if he's a Shomer Chinam, and it gets stolen from him, he's going to be potter from paying for it. So it comes out that his Shavua actually has effects on money, even though right now he's not being kofer on any money. And therefore, Mamona Kokofar, then it would come out he was kofer on Mamon, and therefore Rabba is making him chayev for the korban, Hashtanami, Mamona Kokofar. So therefore, even now, even before it gets stolen, we can say that it's still considered that he's being kofer on Mamon, and therefore he's chayev the korban Osham for Hashem Zeus. So now, relating that back to Rava's question before about the chometz, Hachanami, the same thing with the chometz. Afagav de Afra Ba'alma, even though right now the Schomitz is only Afra Ba'alma, given to Imigna Boy Shalom Le Mamona Malia, but the fact is, if it were to get stolen, then he would have to pay him. During or after Pesach doesn't really matter at this point. It doesn't really matter. Once Pesach comes, it becomes also Ba'ana, it's considered worthless. But if at any time after that, again, after Pesach, he'd have the during Pesach, he can't really return it. The other guy doesn't have to, isn't going to want to accept it, but whatever. After Pesach, he can say, Harei Shaloch Lefanecha, and it's not my problem that now it's worthless. On the other hand, if between now and then it gets stolen or whatever, then he is going to have to pay for it because it was Mamon to begin with. He did steal a Shava Pruta of Chometz to begin with, and we said, Kol HaGazlonim, Shaman Keshas HaGzela. We said that he has to pay according to the original value. So right now, this chometz may not be worth anything, but potentially in the future, it might trigger that he has to pay money. So therefore, hashtanami, mamona kokofer, therefore we can say that also, even now it's considered that he was kofer, that he was kofer in mamon, and therefore is going to be chayev a korban. So it is a valid comparison. The point is, Rabba knows the answer to that, but Rava had a suffix on that. Rava wasn't sure whether in that case, and preposterous in the case of the animals as well, whether in fact he would be chayev, because right now, in fact, it's not, right now he's not actually chayev in Mammon. So now the Rosh points out, of course, he could return the Gzela, but in this case, he swore, then just returning the Chometz, the Rosh said, may not be enough. The fact is, he has to return a Pruta, like we said on Amud Aleph, and he's not able to do that because the Chometz is not worth a Pruta anymore. So only if he returns an actual Pruta would he be yotze enough to be able to bring the korban? The Marshal discusses that, and he explains what the Rosh is saying, that if he's not paying the moment, he can't bring the korban. On the other hand, the Marshal himself disagrees and says that no, he could return the chometz itself, and at that point he's potter, and he has accomplished the heshivas exam. Okay. So now let's continue discussing this point of Rabbas. The Gemara says, Yosef Rava, v'ka'amu l'hashmaita. Rava was sitting and telling over this, and saying over this halacha. Now, actually, it says over here Rava, but Hagoyis HaBach changes it to Rabba. So in other words, we're talking about that Rabba is sitting over here and saying the statement that he just made, and now he's going to defend it against Rav Amram. So Rav Amram was one of the Amoraim. So Esve Rav Amram the Rava, or again the Rabba, so Rav Amram asks him a question. Now we do find in other Gemaras where we find the same Rav Amram having a discussion with Rabba, and actually we have the same expression that the Gemara is going to use soon, that Rabba used to him, is in another Gemara as well, in Bava Metzia, which we'll get to in a couple of weeks, Bez Hashem. So that's another reason maybe why the Bach figures that the Gemara over here should say Rabba. But again, another reason may just be, again, given that we said that Rabba knows this din for sure, whereas Rava has a suffix on it, then it works out better if Rabba is the one who's saying the din, and then Rav Amram is challenging him on it. So Esvei Rav Amram the Rava, or the Rabba, a Braisa says that when the Torah says v'chicheshba, the Torah describes what's the scenario where a person is chayev, the keren, the chomish, and the osham, is where he owes money v'chicheshba, and he denies it. So the Braisa says, "Prapa moida beikar." That comes to exclude the case where the person is moida to begin with. He's moida on the basic claim that it's not his thing. So he's arguing on that, he's denying the details, but he agrees on the basic fact that it doesn't belong to him. Meaning, Kate said, Shirdi Ganavda. So Reuven says, you stole my ox. Reuven loy ganavdi. And he says, I didn't steal it. So Reuven says, Mati re etzlecha. So what is it doing by you? And he answers, Atam chauta li atam asauta li matana. You sold it to me, or you gave it to me as a present. Or avicha machra li avicha nasa li matana. Or your father sold it to me, or gave it to me as a present. Or another case. And now the Gemara is going to ask soon that in all those cases he's not being mowed down the Iker point because he's saying that it belongs to him. So the Gemara is going to deal with in a few minutes what exactly is his claim. But the Braisa anyway is saying that in that case he's not chayev for the Keren B'choymish, etc. Or he says another example, Acha Parosi Rot, this animal of yours started running after my cow. In other words, I was walking, my cow was walking in the street. Your animal got attracted to it and ran after mine, and therefore it ended up in my chotzer. I didn't actually bring it in here. Or the Me'elav Ba'etzli, it came to me on its own. Or Toya Baderach Mitzasiv, I found it on the road that it was wandering around and it was lost. Shem Chinam Ani Olav, Shem Asachar Ani Olav, Shoyal Ani Olav, or he claims that he's one of the various kinds of Shomim on it. V'nishba, and he swore to any of these claims. V'hoida, and later on he admitted that he had sworn falsely. Yochol Yehi Chayev, so the Braisa says you would think that he's Chayev for the Keren Chomish V'Hashem. No, Tamad Laimah V'chichesh Ba. Therefore the Pasuk says that he denies it. Meaning, as opposed to in all these cases, as the Gemara is going to work out soon, where he's moida on the basic fact that this animal belongs to you. So in the later cases, it's easy enough to understand. For example, we're saying it chased after my cow, or it came into my chotzer on his own. Then basically he's saying, I didn't take it to begin with. Here, it's here for you to take whenever you want. As far as the earlier cases where he says, you sold it to me, you gave it to me as a gift, the Gemara is going to deal with soon what exactly he's claiming. Anyway. The point is, so we see that if he claims that he's a shomer, then he's not, then he is potter. So what are you, Rabbah, telling me that in fact he's chayev in all those cases? Because by saying he's a shomer chinam, he's pattering himself in case there's gneva v'aveda, and if he's a shomer sachar, he's pattering himself in case there's an onus, and so on and so forth. We see from this braisa that not. Omale, so Rabbah answers him, tadura. Rashi explains, tadura means ein lev, meaning you have no mind. You have other places in the Gemara where it uses instead the expression is troda. We're gonna have in Bava Metzia in a couple of weeks, Bez Hashem. And Rashi explains over there it means in different places, like three or four places in Shas where this comes up. And Rashi each time explains it slightly differently. It means over here Rashi is saying you have no mind. In a different place, Rashi says that it means a fool, whatever. What?
You're half tired.
No, not half tired. That's something else. That's what Rashi says about Rav. That's something else. So Rashi in Bava Metzia explains Meshuamam, like a crazy person. Whatever. It's an expression, meaning in other words, you have no idea what we're talking about, what you're talking about. The Oruch has a girsa, and so does the Rashba. Trura, that the word is not Tudura with a Dalid, but Trura or Trura with a Resh, which is Meloshin Rir, like saliva, like you're drooling, like you know, you're not speaking clearly, you're like drooling all over. Anyway, it's not the same thing. Kitanya hi tikom lehelach, because that Braisa is talking about where he says halach. Here is the animal. In other words, yes, the animal came into my rishus. You're asking what it's doing by me, and you're accusing me of stealing it. I didn't steal it. Wandered in on its own. Here, take it. It's ready for you to take. Kika mina. What I'm talking about, where he would be chayev de kaima ba'agam. We would be talking about where the animal is standing in the meadow, so it's not available to them right now. We can't say halach. Here, come and take it. When it returns from the agam, or you want to go out to the agam and get it, gazuntahe. What would happen if, meanwhile, there was Gnev of Aveda or whatever, then he's going to be able to claim that he's Potter, because he's going to claim he was a Shrema Chinam on it.
Or if he came to my property, I'm not responsible for it. Take it. It's yours.
That's the thing. That's what Rabbi is saying. So the Braisa is talking about where he says, hey, look, it's available to you right now to take, right? Take it out of my chatzar and go. The other case, what Rabbi is saying, my case, where I'm saying that he is chayev for the korban, for the osham, for doing the false shvura, is where he is actually gaining something by it potentially. Namely, right now the animal is in the meadow, and if between now and when the owner comes and gets it, there would be gneiv of aveda or whatever, then he would be able to say, I'm potter because I was a shomer on the basis of my earlier claim that he's a shomer. Then that's enough to make him chayev in a korban shvura. So he's saying to Rav Amram, there's a big difference between what I'm saying and what the Braisa is saying.
Yeah. He's gaining by.
So he's gaining the fact that potentially, if there would be Gnev Vaveda, then he would be then he'd be able to patter himself by saying I'm a Shemachinam. Whereas now, by saying before, I told you I was a Shemachinam, and he swore to that. This that he tells him Duro, Trodo, whatever the different Gersois are, actually you have the Chavis Yer discusses in one of his Trubas, Bechlal. You have all these harsh expressions that we find in different places, the Chachamim do to one another. How do they do that? What happened to Derech Eretz for a fellow Yid and a fellow Talmud Chacham? So he has a whole Truva explaining many of these things, and he says in this case they were Chaverim, and in fact Rabba was greater than Rab Amram, so therefore we can say that Rab Amram maybe didn't mind it in the first place. Now we're going to have in Bava Metzia at the end of Perek Shnai Mochzin, we're going to have where Amram does mind it, so it seems a little tzorach iyun what the Chavis Yer means by that, but at least over here we don't find that he reacted or that there was any consequence from it implying, therefore, so he can accept that a greater Chavra of his is able to tell him off like that. Now, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says also another point about it when you have the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says Ma'amidei ala Emes, one of the 48 qualities of a Talmid Chacham is that he makes sure the other guy knows the truth, and that can even mean that sometimes he has to talk sharply to him and then make him realize you really don't know what you're talking about. You really have to apply yourself a lot better if you want to understand these kinds of things. And then there are different other points that are made about exactly what he means with this, but the bottom line is, in other words, it's not Stam a random insult. He has a reason behind it. Ben Yehoyada over there in Bava Metzia explains he breaks apart the word Trodo, which is how the Gemara has it over there, to say that it means wake up to this, basically, like don't dremel sich, wake up and focus on this point, and you'll realize the difference. So the Gemara asks, "At machartu di my moed beikir." So now the Braise is saying that when he's moed beikir, then he's potter. And again, Rabba is explaining we're talking about that he's saying the animal is right here in my chot. So go ahead and take it. But if he's saying you sold it to me, then there's no moed beikir. You sold it to me, so now it's mine. What do you want from me? So how is he potter in that case? And the answer is loit tzricha, yes, but the Braise is talking about de amale loinasati lachod dome. I didn't yet give you the money for it. We arranged that you were going to sell it to me, but I didn't yet give you the money. So now, you know what? I don't have the money. So fine, shkol torach bazil. So take your animal and go. I'm not going to go through with the sale. So therefore, so he's saying. Then that's another matter. We're going to have to deal with that. The fact is, he's saying that right now so he was koifu. He claimed that he hadn't stolen it, but nevertheless, the fact is there's no monetary effects of it because he's saying that after all, I intended to buy it. That I intended to buy it and I changed my mind and decided not to, and therefore therefore you can take it. So he's not actually claiming that the animal is his anymore. He's just saying, you're accusing me of stealing it. The fact is it came to me beheter because we had made a business deal over here. And now I'm deciding that I'm going to back out of that.
You say, where did that we made the business deal?
No, because there's no tvia over there. There's no monetary effect that's going to have. So what's the guy going to make him swear about?
Because anybody can take someone bang still for 2 weeks and say, oh, I made it to buy it from you.
No, because first of all, if they arrange that he's going to say that if we arrange that he's going to buy it, the pashtus only when money changes hands, only then he's going to start working with it. So we're not necessarily talking about that there was work with it so far. It was sitting by him for a week or two, but not necessarily does the other guy have a monetary tvia against him at this point.
But we're saying that he actually stole it. And he's saying, oh, I
intended to buy it, but right now, in the end, I'm not buying it. The fact is, there's no nafka minute. It's a lie, but that's the point. But I say, saying it's not a lie that has any effects involving mammon. So therefore, and there's really nothing for the other guy to make him swear to either. If I said I went to Florida and you said swear that you went to Florida, what do you mean? You have no business making me swear on that. It has no nafka minute and money to you.
Yeah, but that's so. Not the animal. Was for 2 weeks he didn't have an animal.
He didn't have the animal, but the fact is, the other guy didn't. But the fact is that the other guy didn't actually. We're not talking. He did any work with it, or if he did, then they'll deal with that separately. But yeah. So in fact, the Ramah says you can see from that in general, before you pay the money, it is possible to return the actual object and undo the sale. The Rashba disagrees with that. And says, usually you can't. The Rashba explains, we're talking about over here, that he's claiming that the deal was that the payment is going to take place on that day. And now he didn't pay him that day, so therefore the Mekach is bottle. And over here, also, the fact is the other guy doesn't agree at all. He says that he says, I never sold it to you in the first place. So even the Lekeach is saying there was a sale, but he would be able to return it. But not in general, that if a person said he's going to buy something, he should be able to take it back. Maybe not necessarily. Similarly, the Gemara continues. What about after Nesatali, Avicha Nosnali? What about when you're saying that you gave it to me or your father gave it to me? My Moda Be'ikr Iker. So where's the Moda Be'ikr? Again, he's saying it's mine. And there you can't say we have, and there we can't say I decided not to pay the money because there's no money involved in a Matana. And similarly, so the answer is the Omalei. Similarly, he says, why did you give it to me as a gift? Amanasta avidnalach nayach de nafsha, because there was an understanding. Amanas, there was a tnai that I'm going to do some kind of favor for you, and in return you'll give me this animal. Veloy abulach. In the end, I didn't do that favor. Zil shkil terach vazil. So take your animal and go. So the same thing, in other words, he's denying that he stole it, but nevertheless, it doesn't have any effects on money, because either way, he's saying, hey, luck, it's available right now, and you can take it. So that's what the Braisa is saying, that he's potter from the bringing the Oshun for that. Again, he could be chayiv for a shvuas bitui. He would be chayiv a korban olav yordan for a shvuas bitui, but he wouldn't be chayiv the keren b'chomish v'oshem for the matter of Hashem Zeilos, yeah. What about in the case of Toya Baderach Mitzosiv? What about he says I found it lost on the road? Lema, why can't the other guy say Boiloch Ladurili? Well, then you should have returned it to me. So you did. You didn't. You kept it. That makes you a Gazlan.
I was just trying to help you, but what's the lesson if you're supposed to bring it back
That's Hoshiv Teshivim. Yeah, we'll learn about that in Bava Metzia Ves Hashem. Right. So he's saying, you're saying you found the animal lost on the road. Okay, but you knew it was mine. You should have returned it. You didn't. That makes you a Gazlan. So what is the guy answering to that? How is he Moida Be'ikr over there? And the answer is, Omer Avur de Shmuel, Bo'oim Ashrua Aveda Matzasi, V'loi Ha'yisi Adeshu Shalach, Chei Shalach. So Avur de Shmuel says, I found it lost. I'm swearing that I didn't know, I swear that I found it lost and I didn't know that it was yours. Shach Zidan Alach, that I should be able to return it to you. But now that you came, then Gazon Tehei, take it. So now, if it turns out that actually he had stolen it, then the Braisa is saying, still he's potter from a korban for Hashem Gzeilus. Again, he's chayav for Shavuos Bitui, but he'd be potter from Hashem Gzeilus, because the fact is he's saying, take it, he is moide be'ikr. He's admitting to the basic fact that it belongs to the other guy. He's just claiming that I didn't know that it was yours.
That Oshem falls off.
That's what we're saying. That's what the Braisa is saying in all those cases. So now, the rest of the cases of the Braisa is all we understand now. The same kind of thing. So now, in each case, he's Moide Be'ikr. He agrees. And again, in the case of the Shomerim, Rabbi had explained that the case is he's saying, I'm a Shomer on it, and here it is right now, so you can take it. As opposed to, again, Rabbi had said, that if he said that if the animal is in the meadow right now, then him saying I'm a shomer on it would not be enough to patter him from the keren b'chomish v'osham, because, or at least from the osham, because if there's gneiva v'aveda, if between when they go and get it from the meadow and if until they get and go and get it from the meadow, it ends up getting lost or stolen or dies or whatever, then he's pattering himself by his claim that he's a shomer. Then therefore he's trying to patter himself for money, and pattering himself for money means that he's chayav for an Hashem Gzeilus. Okay.
So learn Ganav.
Learn Ganav, I guess you could say that, yeah. Okay. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we'll deal with more dinim about Shavuos and when a person is chayav and when not. Okay.